I guess I'm on. Am I on? Okay, yay. Good morning. I am thrilled to be back with you this morning. It's just so much fun. I am just delighted. Last time I was here, 2007, I went the very next day to Unity Village to start my ministerial training and career. This past week, I was back at Unity Village for what we call L&O, licensing and ordination. And they let me stay. Yay! I am a student in good standing. Thank you, God. I have been learning so much since I was with you the last time. Before I go further, I too would like to wish every father, grandfather, father-in-law, stepfather, every version of father in the audience, happy Father's Day, including my own blessed father. Could you stand? And I want to applaud you all. Yay. Thank you so much, and thank you for having me back. I'm delighted to be here. The talk title today is One Clap. And it's in honor of Charles Fillmore, the father of unity. I have been learning so much, and you know, all of God is both the masculine and the feminine. And one thing I loved about unity is that it takes in the feminine aspects of God, but we've already had Mother's Day. So today will be Father's Day and the thinking nature of God. I asked Paul Hasselbeck in my interview, who developed the five basic unity principles? Because if I'm going to teach this stuff, I really ought to know who developed that. He said Connie Fillmore Bazzi, who was, I think, a granddaughter of the Fillmores, or a great-granddaughter, I'm not sure, but she is the one who took Charles and Myrtle's teachings and basically condense them into five basic unity principles. They asked me, what are the five basic unity principles? And I said, I know that, yay. I'm going to talk about that on Sunday. The five basic unity principles, I hope I leave you with something to think about today, because we're honoring that thinking nature that is part of God. The five basic unity principles can be condensed into an acronym. And I don't know about you, but I love acronyms. They help me remember. And sometimes I go all the way to the top floor of my house and I don't remember what I went up there for. I have to go back to the bottom floor to remember. And then even sometimes I don't remember. So I love acronyms. What are they? One clap. Okay, this is a participation activity. One, all together, clap. See, that'll get you involved, and now you will remember. Again, one clap. Very good. What does one clap stand for? One is, there is only one presence and one power. And if we had no other principle, that's enough. There is only one presence and one power. God the good, omnipotent. Well, if there's only one presence and one power, that gets us into some discussion with folks who believe that evil has power. And sometimes it's really hard to hold that consciousness of only one presence and one power in the face of race consciousness, in the face of everything happening in our world today. I really struggled with that for a long time. How do I make sense out of it? There's only one power and one presence, God the good. I had a lot of help from a teacher at Unity, Greg Nettler, and I was in one of his SEE classes, and he said, Jesus spoke Aramaic. And in Aramaic, the word for evil means immature or unripe. Wow. Immature or unripe. Well, I can tell you that in my spiritual growth path, I've certainly done a lot of evil things out of immaturity. And when you think about unripe, we students went to Unity Inn and we said, oh, look at those evil bananas. Who wants to eat an unripe banana? What does that mean? When I try to do things before it's time, have you ever tried to force the issue, do something before it's really time? My outcomes are usually awful. It doesn't work. It's in God's time. So if there's only one presence and one power, anything that shows up as evil is just immature or unripe. Because the only power is God, the good. Okay, so that's our one. One clap. All right. One presence and one power. What's the C? The C is how we experience that one presence and one power. We experience that one presence and one power through the Christ of us. The Christ of us is how we experience that. What does that mean? How do I make that real? The Christ of me. Well, I went back to scripture, and it's a scripture that is often quoted in Unity. And one thing I've been learning in scripture, in classes, is the history of Christianity. We have a lot to thank the Apostle Paul for, because he taught so many people about the Christ energy, Christ in you, your hope of glory. That comes from the Apostle Paul. And Paul was preaching to the Gentiles. You know, Jesus was Jewish. And so the first earliest Christians had to figure out, well, is this just for Jews? Or is it for anybody? And Paul made the decision in his conversion experience, this is for everybody. This is an awareness, a spiritual awakening to anybody and everybody. Then their next big question was, well, do you have to become Jewish first? Fortunately, the decision was, no, you did not. You did not have to be Jewish first. And so Paul traveled all throughout the Middle Eastern cities, taking the message of hope and love. And here's what he says, because he is a minister. This is from Colossians, verse 24. Chapter 24, verse 25. I became a minister according to the divine office which was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now made manifest to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, your hope of glory. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Now, when I behold the Christ in you, I behold that hope of glory. And anytime I'm feeling less than, anytime I am not feeling that Christ presence, I know it's there anyway. I don't necessarily feel it all the time, but it never leaves us. And we behold the Christ in everyone, even that person or that boss that gets on your last nerve. When that happens, pray to the Christ of their being. Pray for the Christ of you and the Christ of them to work it out. Pray for their harmony to come through the Christ of you, your hope of glory. It is not the Christ, it is not I, but the Christ in me that does this work. So remember, Paul gave us that message thousands of years ago. Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's the C. So there is only one presence And it shows up in me and in you and in all of creation as that Christ presence. Okay, what's L? L is the law of mind action. The law of mind action. Now let's think about the law of mind action, because it got a lot of airtime with The Secret. Do you remember The Secret, that movie? But it's a tricky one. It's really a tricky one, because the standard unity approach to the law of mind action is thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And that's true. That's true. But let's think about that. What is the nature of mind? Mind is made up of superconscious, which is our Christ consciousness, our consciousness, conscious awareness of where we are, what we're doing, we're here at First Unity Church, and our subconscious. So when we are going to use the law of mind action, it's a very powerful spiritual law. You want to align with the divine. You want to let the same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And that's also from Paul in his letter to the Philippians. Why do we want to do that? Well, I'll let you in on a little psychological secret. When we hold something less than that divine presence, and we slip into judgment, oh, she is so tacky. Oh, he's so angry all the time. We start judging others, or we judge ourselves. Oh, I step into fear. How can I possibly be a minister? Oh, I just judged her. I just judged myself. Oh, quit, quit, quit. Our subconscious mind, when we make those judgments, does not discriminate whether it's about yourself or someone else. God doesn't judge us. That's a human trait. And when we judge someone else, our subconscious mind doesn't differentiate that it's not about me. So that is something, when we're using the law of mind action, we need to keep that in our awareness. All three states of mind, our superconscious, our conscious, and our subconscious, need to align with the divine. So the thoughts that I hold in mind will manifest according to divine will, God's will. And God's will for us is good and only good. You cannot have your good at someone else's expense, and they cannot have theirs at your expense. There is only one power and one presence, and we have our good in alignment with divine order. There is only one presence. So we have the law of mind action, and Paul cautioned us to let them, the same mind that is in Christ Jesus, also be in us. Really important to stay with that. And when you're not there, prayer and meditation bring you there. And that brings us right to the very next unity principle. What is A? We have one power, one presence. We have the Christ in you, your hope of glory, and the Christ in every living being. We have the law of mind action, which is a powerful spiritual law. And now we have affirmations and denials. And that's the crux of what Myrtle Fillmore used and unity started from, affirmations and denials. She used an affirmation. She had a spiritual awakening, that aha moment, when she realized that she was a beautiful child of God. And that became her mantra. She heard it at a lecture. I don't know if you know the story or not, but she heard it at a lecture, and she started to repeat that. Something clicked in her. She had had tuberculosis, which was something that many people in the late 1800s really struggled with and died of. In fact, she was at the point of saying, this is it, you aren't going to make it. And she heard this lecture and something clicked. It was that divine aha moment. And she said, I am a child of God, sickness is not my inheritance. Because her family mantra had been, we're sickly. We're just all very sickly. And she had appropriated that belief. She had to let it go. We often, in unity, like to do the affirmations, but we forget about the denials. And one of the YOUers said to me, or I heard them say, if a unity person found themselves in a frying pan, they would say, it's not hot, I'm not here, and I'm not uncomfortable. Friends, that is not denial. Denial is not pretending that you aren't where you are. Denial is denying the power that you are giving to that negative thought of being less than the Christ of you. So when I think I'm sickly, I deny the power I give to that. When I think I am unworthy, I deny the power I give to that. Myrtle worked with a very simple formula for 2 whole years. I am a beautiful child of God. Sickness is not my inheritance. We have to give power to both. Because whatever you give power to, and this is another psychological law, whatever we give our attention to increases. So if I give my attention to my cat when my cat is pestering me, what does my cat learn to do? Pester me even more. And she's good at it. When I give my attention to my child who's misbehaving, when they're misbehaving, what do I get more of? Misbehavior. So think about what you give your attention to, because that increases. And if you're giving power to that negative thought, denial is denying the power that you give to that thought. And we can't have one without the other. We have affirmations, I am a beautiful child of God. Poverty is not my inheritance. Lack is not my inheritance. I'm a beautiful child of God. Jealousy is not my inheritance. Pettiness is not my inheritance. Fear is not my inheritance. Deny the power that you are giving it, and just use her simple formula for whatever it is you want to manifest in your life. The thing about the 5 unity principles, they're like a simultaneous equation, and they only work when we use all of them. It's not like a cafeteria menu. When you walk through the line and you say, I think I'll take a few affirmations and a few law of mind action affirmations and perhaps the one presence, but I'm not going to do denials and I don't think I'll put it into practice. I'll just do it on Sunday. Because that leads us right to P. We're at the P of the 5 basic unity principles. And what's P? P is practice it. Charles and Myrtle meant that this is practical Christianity. It is not for just here. It is for every minute of every day. That same mind in you that's in Christ Jesus is there all the time. Let your thoughts be prayers, and you're always praying. That's how it is. We have to take action. You know, Jesus did so much healing in the Bible. There are just tons and tons of stories about his healing. Individuals, and often he asked them to do something. He asked them to take action, pick up mud and spit in it. And then he blessed it and he put it on their eyes so they could see. In unity, sometimes we want to be just, oh, I'll just affirm, I'm spiritual, it will unfold, I can see the good, it will all. That's wonderful, but we have to get in there and get dirty and do something. If I were to step down and trip and fall and break my ankle, I could lie on the ground forever affirming healing, affirming wholeness, affirming health, affirming that my ankle is healing. But friends, if I don't get up and get to the doctor and get the ankle set, I am not cooperating with the divine law of wholeness. So one clap The P requires us to do something. We have to put it into practice. Have to do something. It's practical Christianity. I can't see the clock, so I don't know about time, but I think I'm about to the end of this. So my challenge to you as you leave here today, which one of these five unity principles needs to be strengthened in you? Which one do you need to put into practice? Which one do you need to draw upon? Which one do you need to strengthen, to beef up, so that you can use all five to co-create with God a world that works for you and everyone? Bless you.